you get to hear it twice. This can be part of our theme for Tuesday. Wednesday is the meeting.
Welcome to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. If you are a visitor today, we hope that you will join us often. So let us call ourselves to worship. I will sing of loyalty and of justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing. I will study the way that is blameless. Come, let us worship God together. Please join with me in the prayer of invocation, and especially join with me where you are in the Lord's Prayer. Creator and uniting God, you have drawn us together into this church and have redeemed and renewed us to do your will in the world. Thank you for transforming strangers into friends, for giving us one another as trusted co-workers within the faith community. Thank you for teaching us values that seem strange in the context of our culture these days, for reminding us through scripture and experience of love's awesome power. Be with us as we gather together today to share worship and welcome others who are here into our church family. Help us to express our faith through word and deed in this community and around the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And this is the time when we share our announcements. I've been warned by Wayne, who is our technician at the wheel today, that Zoom is changing things. It doesn't, I think, make too much of a difference to us, but starting on July 19th, you will probably be checking into a waiting room. So be patient, because someone will have to let you into the worship. And Zoom is doing this to stop what is called Zoom bombing, you know, when people try to break into our meetings who are uninvited guests. So just be aware of that. And for the mission committee, we want to remind you that we are still dealing with the Kids Summer Cafe. Donations of food and gift cards may be dropped off at the church office on Tuesdays and Thursdays between 8:30 and 3 p.m. Lenore's Pantry, there's a bin outside the back door at Town Hall, and your donations may be dropped off there. But you might need to call into the Town Hall if you have a lot of things or have questions. If you need to leave donations for Lenore's Pantry here at the CE building, look for the blue bin outside the church office door. And Pastor Glenn is not with us today because he is preaching at another church to allow that pastor to go on vacation. Does anyone else have an announcement they'd like to make? Feel free to unmute yourself and shout it out. Seeing no announcements, then Mr. Dave, are you going to lead us into the music of All Things Bright and Beautiful?
Yes. So we're going to sing All Things Bright and Beautiful. And Ashley has shared with us in the chat area the lyrics. So if you go down to your scroll bar and see where it says chat, you should be able to get in there and see the lyrics off to the side. If not, Kathy did send an email out with the lyrics. So let's join together and you can sing at home. And remember, stay on mute so we don't hear you. That's not a nice way of putting
well,
it.
Well, Dave.
But you'll be hearing yourself. No, it'll just be easier to sing.
No, there's no bailing yourself out now, sorry.
But please join in singing from your home, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Mr. Dave. This is the time we share our celebrations. There's good news for Ken, who remains asymptomatic from COVID-19. Ken and Peggy are out of self-quarantine starting today. So good for them. We hope they continue to do well. I am going to be on vacation these next 2 weeks, and Pastor Glenn will be leading worship, just to let you know what's going on. Are there any other celebrations that you would like to lift up? Again, please feel free to unmute yourselves and tell us your celebrations.
Hi, Reverend Carol. It's Eric.
Hi, Eric.
So, fingers crossed, Cora gets to come home tomorrow.
Yay!
She was actually
good news. Good news. Very good.
But she actually ended up having a couple events where her oxygen levels dropped and things like that, so they kept her for a few extra days. But if all things continue to go according to plan, she'll be coming home tomorrow. So
wonderful news for the newbie new dad.
That's right.
So very good.
We're pretty excited about that.
Anyone else? It's good to see Ed Dyer with us again. He had his cataract surgery last week, so I hope you're doing well, Ed. Any other celebrations? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning for people who are ill and others who are in need of prayer, including Aaron, Eric, and Cora, Nikolai, Ken, Lee, Tyler, Wade, Brigida, Cher, Jen, Steve, Marie, Chad, Doris, Lee, and Carol. For Ken and Peggy, as they do finish their quarantine today, for Ed and Janet, for Matt Trowbridge and his team, and we also will put Wayne in our prayers as he is looking forward to knee replacement surgery. Those who are in nursing homes and assisted living are Bud, Jackie, and Carol. And as always, we continue to pray for all people who are suffering from COVID-19 and for first responders, all who work in the medical profession, for those who suffer from addictions, for our government officials who are working hard to protect us. As always, we pray for our nation and our communities as we face these difficult days together. So please join with me in a moment of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for our church, and we pray that for years to come, its people and its mission will boldly proclaim your love for all humankind. We thank you for the faith people who formed our church in 1874 and who set a course of ministry that has endured for over 140 years. We thank you for the fortitude of men and women who have labored in your service through trying times of revolution and civil strife, religious ferment, and financial hardship. We thank you for the compassion of church people, generation upon generation, who have helped shape Central Congregational Church and have given it a character of caring. And so we pray this morning for all the people whom we have mentioned, and we ask that you be attentive to the names of others that we now lift into your presence during this time of silence. Relying upon your sure presence and steadfast love, we look back with appreciation and look ahead with hope. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Scripture lesson for today comes from Psalm 72. It's actually excerpts from Psalm 72, and this is one of the psalms not attributed to King David, but his son, King Solomon. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures and as long as the moon, throughout all generations. May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service, For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Our next hymn that we're going to listen to is Holy God, Praise Thy Name. And before I play this hymn, I just want to let you know, too, I was in the church again last week playing the organ, and I took some beautiful pictures of the church and of the church windows, and I'm going to be sharing the window pictures on our Facebook page this week. So if you can get on Facebook and check out the beautiful pictures of the windows, the sun was coming in just right, and it made for some great pictures. So if you're missing our church, by all means, check out the Facebook page, and you'll see some of this week's shots that I took. But let us now hear, Holy God, we praise thy name.
Holy God, we praise your name. Lord of all, we bow before thee. All on earth thy scepter claim. All in heaven above adore thee. If amid thy vast domain, everlasting is thy name.
Mr. Dave. I have a feeling you've heard these words before. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Who said those words first? Well, between 1837 and 1869, that person was known as Sir John Dalberg Acton. He is best known for that remark, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. He went on to say, great men are almost always bad men. And he wrote that in a letter to a Church of England bishop. What did he mean by that? I think what he meant was having power can often corrupt a person or lessen that person's morality. And the more power a person has, the more corrupted he or she may very well become. This idiom means that those in power often do not have the people's best interests in mind, but only their own. And that's something we seem to be seeing in many areas of our own culture right at this moment. 2 centuries before Christ, King Ptolemy of Egypt wanted a lighthouse built in Alexandria, Egypt. It was the last of the 7 wonders of the world. Ptolemy was a proud king. He wanted a monument with his name engraved at the top of the lighthouse to announce his greatness for all eternity. The builder carried out his orders, but first he carved his own name in the stone, and then he plastered over his name and engraved the name of the king. The salt, The salt spray, the wind, and rain gradually loosened the plaster, which erased the king's name completely, and that left only the real builder's name. So the builder had the last laugh, though, of course, neither he nor the king lived to see it. What about power? Power is a subjective thing. Like beauty, power is in the eye of the beholder. You can learn a lot about people by knowing how they view power. What represents power in our culture? Is it physical strength? Is it wisdom? Is it a beautiful appearance? Is it money? Is it titles? Is it intelligence? Is it family ties? And what is the difference between power and control? What are legitimate and illegitimate uses of power? In his book entitled Somebodies and Nobodies, Overcoming the Abuse of Rank, author Robert Fuller charges that American society is infected with the disease he calls rankism. We admire and imitate those with rank. We admire and imitate those who have more power in our society while ignoring or abusing those who have less. Fuller cites the fact that we expect our company to pay for our health insurance, but we don't offer health insurance to those who mow our lawns or clean our houses. We assume that those who are healthy, wealthy, beautiful, or powerful have somehow earned their success, while those at the opposite end of the scale also earned their misfortune. We allow people in power to abuse their power and to rob their subordinates of the dignity that should be a God-given right of all people. Are not the protests in our streets exactly about this? What constitutes an effective use of power, and why is power so easy to abuse? Imagine asking these same questions a few thousand years ago in biblical times. Kings had absolute power over their subject, and absolute powers usually resulted in cruelty and oppression. Power exercised without wisdom, without mercy, without justice. This has been the story of the human race since the beginning of time. It's survival of the fittest. Might makes right. Power expressed to its logical and lethal limits. Is that just the nature of power? Do we have to accept this as the inevitable pattern of the universe? In the scripture which Wayne read today from Psalm 72, written by King Solomon or by someone in his royal court, you may recall that story. Solomon, of course, was the son of David, a king who abused his power by committing adultery with Bathsheba, then arranging for the murder of Bathsheba's husband. Surely Solomon contemplated his father's wicked deeds and the power that made them possible. But then again, King Solomon himself amassed more riches, honor, and power than any other king before him. And yet he writes in the book of Ecclesiastes these words, "So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, chasing after the wind." In the end, Solomon found his power to be absolutely meaningless. So it's really interesting to read Psalm 72, Solomon's vision of a perfect leader in a perfect world that would be sent from God. Or was he talking about himself? "Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor." What does a godly king or leader look like? That person should be a righteous judge. Instead of using power to oppress others, this leader watches out for the afflicted, the needy, the children, the oppressed, and the weak. This is what power plus love looks like. This is what Jesus looks like. In his book, Violence Unveiled, French author Gil Baye writes that for centuries, cultures sanctioned violence of the majority class against the minority class, and humans lived by the classic Darwinian theory of might makes right. But all that changed, he claimed, that the day Jesus was crucified, the day that God took the side of the victim. The gospel may not make societies less violent, but it makes them less sure of their violence. Today, the victim often occupies the moral high ground. It is only the belief in a God that values individuals as unique beings made in God's image that makes the idea of individual rights possible. Numerous kings and dictators have used their power to oppress or kill or enslave their people. They have demanded obedience and ruled by fear. Are we not seeing the pain of our brothers and sisters in these protests who have been victimized? Jesus changed the world simply by the force of his love. In our own countries, we seem to have forgotten that sacrifice is for all of us. As far back as Solomon, the prophet Isaiah, and Jesus, we have God's promise that God will establish the perfect kingdom, a society of righteousness and justice and mercy and peace. As Christians, we need to work and pray for that coming kingdom where love will reign and all people will be equal in the sight of God. No exceptions ever. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you and bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Go forth in peace, go forth with mercy and love. Amen.